Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gray, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
ZFM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
Argentina!
Time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interview.
She's a happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport. It's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
ZFM Sport on a Monday evening, Manic Monday, and boy oh boy do we have a show lined up for you. In the news, Dynamos edge Caps United in the Harare Derby to reshape the relegation battle.
For us to pick up maximum points in a derby, it shows there are a lot of signs that we are heading towards survival.
In rugby, England captain Zoe Aldercroft hails the Red Roses Women's Rugby World Cup triumph.
7 years of domination, finally met the ultimate prize in women's rugby. England are the champions.
Team Europe withstood a dramatic final day fight back to win the Ryder Cup.
Europe arrived with the Ryder Cup, and they will leave the Big Apple with the Ryder Cup, and all the hearts will go to Shane Lowry for his amazing finish.
And Real Madrid manager Xavi Alonso hurt by Real Madrid's 5-2 defeat to Atletico Madrid.
Ayana coming forward, and the chance for Antoine Griezmann to make it 5. Griezmann with the 5th. Dreamland for Atleti. That is the icing on the cake.
All of those stories and so much more to look forward to on the show today. I'm in the company of Mike Madoda, our producer Sean Tafire Nyika. My name is Barry Manandi. What a weekend, Mikey. Your highlight?
Ryder Cup. My goodness.
I
thought the US team was dead and buried.
Same.
But last night, my goodness. I mean, what a fight back.
Sure.
And for them to narrowly miss out towards the end there, I thought it was going to be the miracle
at Medina
all over again. Because they were going for it, and a credit to them because they were comprehensively outplayed over 2 days. But the fight, the steel they showed yesterday, I think exemplified by Bryson DeChambeau, who was 5 down through the first 7 holes and eventually clawed his way back to a share of the spoils in that game. Phenomenal stuff. Definitely my highlight of the weekend.
Would you have put the heavy hitters later on?
No.
Because there was going to be
more
pressure.
No, because Europe needed 2 points.
Okay.
You put the heavy hitters later, they'll grab the 2 points early
the
and then kill it off as a contest.
Okay.
I think by way of captaincy, he absolutely did the right thing, that's Keegan Bradley, that is to put his best players up top, try and make sure that they got the points that kept them in the tie. Because remember, Europe only won this in the last 3 matches.
In the last 3, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly,
last 3 matches.
That's context for you. 0772-168-045. We want to know what your highlight of the weekend was. Was it the Harare Derby? Was it that Chakazunguza Nikayese Ikafara? 0772-168-045. Manic Monday.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
right, time to dive into that big story coming out of Harare, where joy and despair framed a tense Harare derby at Rufaro Stadium yesterday as Dynamo's edged Caps United 1-0 in a result that reshaped the relegation battle. Jairos Kasondo, who was a bundle of energy all afternoon, scored the winner in the 54th minute, a glancing header that pulled Dynamo's two places up to 15th on the table and left Caps United staring over the cliff. Dynamo's coach Calvin Kaindu said he is pleased with his side's win.
First half, we had a number of inroads in the final third, also in the box from the wide areas. But for us to pick up maximum points in a derby, it shows there are a lot of signs that we are heading towards survival. We are not going to depend on other teams to win for us. We want to win our own games. I'm sure if we're able to pick up 4 wins from the games that are remaining, it will be good for us. But for us to get to 32 points, we are almost closer to the teams that are above us. I think if we remain consistent, we keep on pushing, we'll be getting there.
See. Calvin Kaindu, I mean, it's needless to say he was pleased with the result. I imagine he was. But he talks there about final third entries being the key to that victory. And it's hard to argue with him.
Yeah, final third entries in the second half.
In the second
half.
Because
the first half, it was all Caps United.
Right.
I think Caps United, they made several forays into the Dynamo's half, but weren't able to cash in. For me, this was a game in which KK got the better of Bakala. And why I say that is because anyone who had shown up at Rufaro Stadium in the first half would have certainly said Caps United are looking the better side. They weren't looking great, but were looking the better side, and they were creating chances now and again. Dynamos looked like they were feeling the way into the game in the first half, but KK was able to change things at halftime, and Caps United just didn't seem to have a response. And that's what worried me. So Dynamos won this game not because they played particularly great football, but I simply believe that KK he outwitted Bakala in this one. And I think I'm beginning to understand where you were coming from several weeks ago when you asked the simple question. I think it may have been even off air. Bakala arukutamba ripi chaiyo,
right?
Yeah, because there were just too many long balls in that game.
Yeah.
Too many long balls, too many hidden hopes where you are hoping that something might stick. The few moments that Caps United tried to play when Chinchuli came on the thing, they actually looked good shifting the ball and trying to
and
create chances.
The opponent,
but the problem is when you're trying to chase the game in the last 15 minutes, everything has to be rushed. And it wasn't the ideal situation. So again, I go to the dugout. This is where the game was won. And on Friday, we talked about the dugout being a critical area which could decide the game. It came out to be true.
Second half, there was a movie I think it was in the 90s or early noughties called Desperado. And Desperado is never a plan, so that's what it looked like in the second half, certainly for Caps United. We are
especially
joined,
if you're up against an equally desperate foe,
desperate opponent in Dynamos. We're joined in the studio, of course, by our good friend. We love him to bits. And he's defiantly wearing his Caps United jersey today.
Absolutely. With a new sponsor.
New sponsor emblazoned on the chest is Alois Bunjira. Would you agree with the assertion that it was that second half? It was the tweaks that were made in the dugout that changed the game almost, because Dynamos came out with intent. Caps United didn't seem to have a response. By the time they had a response, the dynamic of the game had changed so much, because when you are trying to protect a 1-0 lead, it's very different when it's 0-0.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mike that Caps United could have grabbed a few goals in the first half.
But
they had the better of the chances. I would say they were better team. I say they created more chances. They got more chances to get into the driving seat, but they couldn't get that decisive goal. But in the second half, you could actually feel Dynamos were more steady. You could feel they could even rotation of the ball.
Yeah,
you know, even rotation of the ball was quite good. You know, you could actually feel that. You know,
always talk about it, mm-hmm. that you want to feel the coach.
Yes.
Whenever
yes.
a team plays, yeah. you want the signature.
And you could see his fingerprint, eh?
Yes. In that second half. Yes, in that second half, you could actually feel. They could actually, there was a time they played the ball from the back
yeah.
and back to yes. the keeper, and they were pressed and they
kept. I remember
they actually
them, kept, that.
You remember it now? That's actually, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually
yeah.
got
out.
Out. Yes.
And
they actually got out.
They finished the action with a goal kick.
Yeah, exactly. You saw it. It was actually quite good. That's why I love that when you see the signature of a coach. This was coach,
right?
Yeah, and like you said, by the time Capes United were chasing the game, wanted to change when Chintuli Junior and Matindi came on, there was some spark.
There was energy, and Jaden as well.
You could feel there was energy. There was some spark. They actually created two chances,
they did.
And
they did.
There was a time when Junior volleyed across the goal, and two guys missed
just
the ball.
Just needed a touch,
just a touch. No, just to throw your body onto the ball. It was going to go in. Yeah. I don't know how they both missed there. But then, like you said, that was desperation time.
Yeah.
It was now desperation. And like Mike said, they were now long balls into the box. I am never a fan of the long ball.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I was
50-50.
I was not a big striker.
Yeah.
So I never wanted those balls. And we didn't have a big striker
right.
for Capes United.
Yeah.
Up front, especially at that time. You don't need those long balls, especially from the right back Milan's. Milan's kept on hitting them.
When he had
shorter passes to play.
To play.
When Junior was coming short.
Yeah.
When Chintuli was coming short. You could just release the ball as a defender. Right back, just release the ball and let the guys go take the initiative. But he had with a shortcut.
Yeah.
And you cannot have that.
What that does, it brings your opponent back into the game.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it is bringing the opponent back into the game, an opponent who then got a goal. Now it brings that opponent back into the survival mix, Mike, because in truth, sitting both on 32 points, it's anyone.
It's hairy now.
It's very hairy.
It's hairy because it's only goal difference that's separating Capes United from Dynamos. Early on, during, of course, the headlines, we alluded to the miracle in Medina. Now, I think there is a miracle in Bahrain.
Yeah.
That's currently unfolding.
Well,
Pastor Kelvin Kayindu is behind it.
Yes.
What a phenomenal job that he has done. The impact he has made at Dynamo's galvanized the club, given those players, the same group of players that Saul Chaminuka said were not good enough under Kelvin Kayindu. They look like world beaters.
Yes.
They are now in a place where they're confident enough, even what people were talking about as a difficult fixture 2 months ago at Barberfields versus Highlanders. This Dynamo side has the capacity to go to BF, compete, and get 3 points if necessary. So we must give a lot of kudos to Kelvin Kayindu, but it comes down to a coach with a clear plan, coach with a method, and a coach that's able to galvanize the side, give it order, give it structure, and get them playing in a certain way. So for me, credit to KK. And now,
certainly,
it's Capes United who have got to worry a bit now.
Yes.
About which way is the club going.
Because Dynamos have got an upward trajectory.
Capes is downward.
Capes is downward at the moment. So they might be on the same number of points right now, but it's Capes, it's Dynamos who are on an upward trajectory.
And that slide may continue. So results from the weekend on match day 29. Bikita Minerals 1-1 draw with FC Platinum at Gibo, while Tel 1 beat Yada 2-1 at Hart Stadium. And Ngezi Platinum Stars, Dynamos' next opponent, nil-all draw with Herentals at the Baobab, while Green Fuel 2-1 winners over Chicken Inn at Green Fuel Arena. Highlanders, a 1-1 draw with ZPC Kariba. Highlanders needed to come back into that game and managing to salvage a point at Barberfields. And then at Ascot Stadium, Moors managing to upend Kwekwe United 1-0. The game for Simba Bora was postponed, of course, because they were in the CAF Champions League, which we talk about next.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable.
All right, Simba Border coach Joel Lupasa has bemoaned his side's lack of experience as the Zimbabwe Champions CAF Champions League run ended in heartbreak when they fell 4-2 on penalties to Nsingizini Hotspurs at Somhlolo National Stadium in Eswatini yesterday. Simba Border had gone into the second leg with a slender 1-0 advantage, but a last-gasp strike by Nkosinkipile Shongwe forced the tie to go to the penalty lottery, which... Again, Joel Lupasa came out on the sharp end of Alois. We recall when he was at Dynamos, he was assistant coach, but Orapa managing to progress in the CAF Champions League at the expense of Dynamos, courtesy of a penalty shootout. Deja vu, yet again.
Yeah, deja vu for Zimbabwean clubs. We need to wrap up the game before we go to penalties, because it looks like penalties are not our friend. They're not our portion. I remember some time back when we had Dynamos losing out to Jet of Algeria.
Yeah.
You know that penalty shootout I'll never forget. Charles Mabiga and Evans Mambara, they were together commentating on that game.
Right.
Time for Indagata to meet like my commentators. Senegal, US Gori.
Yes.
US Gori of Senegal. It was a heartbreak when Lucky Dube, and call him the unlucky Dube.
Dube.
Lucky Dube missed the final penalty. You know, so yeah, it's not our portion.
Yeah.
Let's just wrap up
the game. But Mike, does this more than us being unlucky with penalties, guys, I'm concerned. I think this is just something that tells you that the standard of football in Zimbabwe has gone down.
It's gone down.
Yeah. For the Zimbabwean champions to be losing out to a club from Eswatini is a damning indictment.
On the quality of our
Premier League, because like Alois is mentioning, these were teams that Zimbabwean clubs would swat aside. Zimbabwean teams would fall a cropper against the better sides,
from
West Africa,
yeah,
but never against the regional minnows that we are falling to in a preliminary round fixture.
This is a preliminary round.
Even Managoma here used to be afraid of us.
So I'm a bit concerned now, you know, because we continue to talk ourselves up. We continue to do that, but the results on the field of play are pointing in a completely different direction. So I think this is a time for introspection, for us to take a look at, you know, what can be done now.
Where are we? What can be done to improve
the quality of our football in the Premier League? One of the things that I can look to immediately is that we are recycling way too many players in our Premier Soccer League. Year after year back then, there was the introduction of fresh, young, vibrant talent. The fact that Junior Abunjila at Caps United is still one of the fresh,
the lights,
young players.
Lights,
and yet he made his debut last season. Again, shows you that because how many players can you count right
this
now?
Year.
You can only count one hand. Busangwenya at Dynamos. We still talk about Junior Abunjila. Yeah. And
give me a youngster, Argupisa. Mafio Shueta, wrong career decision.
Wrong career.
He's gone to Scotland. And what is he doing now? He's a bit
warming the bench.
He could have been
a starter.
That was
at
a wrong decision. Yeah. You know what Scotland could have done was to take him and loan him
back to Ireland.
I think Scotland didn't have to do anything. It was Highlanders. We'll sell you the guy, but
to give him back to us.
With us until the end of the season. So I think we've got to take a look at the production mill. We've got to introduce young players, and also we've got to have coaches who are daring. We've got coaches who is their immediate fallback position is, I don't want to lose the game.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose my job.
So what is their mindset? Their mindset is, I need experience.
Yes.
The mindset is, I need
experience at the back.
Experience at the back.
Yes.
I need players who have played in the league.
Yes, yes.
But
a striker who has experience.
Exactly.
If I have that, Naniti.
You remember last year we celebrated when PTC came on.
Yes.
Because I had previously
previously said, when ask the question, when was the last time you had a 20-year-old goalkeeper?
Right, right, yeah.
Or
yeah,
a 21-year-old goalkeeper in the Premier League. We don't have them anymore.
Well, Ariel's back, so here we go again. But it's a fine point that you make, Mike, and I'm going to add on to that. One of the other areas we need to work on is certainly our surfaces. I think we're going to get better quality football if we have better quality surfaces. And let's go, let's give you a local sports news roundup with Mike.
I listen to my radio. ZFM stereo. The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Your local sports news roundup starts with cricket news, where Zimbabwe top order batsman Brendan Taylor scored his maiden T20 100, guiding Zimbabwe to a big total of 259 for 5 as they won the ICC Men's T20 Africa qualifier by 170 runs against Botswana at Harare Sports Club yesterday. The hosts are through to the semi-finals of the competition with one match to spare after restricting Botswana to 89 for 8. The Chevrons face Tanzania in their final Group A match tomorrow morning. In triathlon news, Zimbabwe's top triathlete Andy Kuipers made a successful return to the continental circuit by clinching a bronze medal at the 2025 Africa Triathlon Sprint Championships that were held in the stunning city of Al Galala in Egypt. In an exhilarating race that showcased incredible endurance, skill and determination, Kuipers finished in third position while also claiming a gold medal in the under-23 women's category. We wrap it up with news from hockey, where the Zimbabwe under-21 women's hockey team is appealing for support from the corporate world and individuals as they prepare for the 2025 Hockey Junior World Cup to be played in Santiago, Chile from the 1st to the 13th of December. This will be the team's fourth consecutive World Cup appearance and sixth overall, following their third place finish at the Junior Africa Cup held in Namibia in the month of April.
Ready to stand out in marketing or supply chain? Start your globally recognized qualification at IMM Graduate School Harare in 2026 and make your mark in these growing industries. Registration is open. Apply online at imm.ac.za to book your place. Midland State University is the accredited agent to offer tutorials on IMM Graduate School degree programs. IMM Graduate School diploma programs are accredited by the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education, Innovation, Science and Technology Development.
Hit music.
We take over every summer.
Hey, this is Taylor Swift.
This is Ed Sheeran.
What's up, guys? It's Doja Cat.
Yeah,
it's Dua Lipa.
This is The Weeknd.
Hey, it's David Guetta.
Hey, let's go.
Set the mood all summer long.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
We start off with the Women's Rugby World Cup, where an exultant Zoe Aldcroft hailed England's Women's Rugby World Cup win as a dream come true after captaining the Red Roses to glory. Aldcroft, who was appointed captain at the start of the year 2025, was outstanding in a size 33-13 victory over Canada, setting the tone with a physical defensive performance.
Honestly, it is unbelievable. It's literally what dreams are made of. Like, we have had so much belief in this group. We've built something so special over the last 3 years, and today it was just about sticking to our process and just believing in ourselves. Like, everyone just had to do their own job, and I think that is what everyone did today, and I'm just so proud of every single one of those girls. Honestly, it was such an amazing occasion as well, playing in front of 82,000 people. That was next level, and I think it was a chance to redefine women's rugby.
England banishing the demons of two consecutive final defeats to triumph on home soil in front of a record capacity crowd, just short of 82,000 at Twickenham, the home of rugby in London Town. Barry, England winning the Rugby World Cup. I think no surprises there.
No surprises.
They went in rank number one. They looked the best side in the tournament. Yeah. And so just desserts for them. And who would you pick as the outstanding performers in the final for you?
I would say Ellie
really cool, Dune. I think she looked fantastic. Got a try, phenomenal try. Hooker Amy Kokan, and then of course the number eight, Alex Matthews. Lots of carries there, and then lock Abby Ward. They all did the business and came to the party for an England side that simply overpowered their opponent. In truth, if we're calling a spade a spade.
And Canada, of course, are scoring twice through wing Asia Hogan Rochester, but with a score at 26-13, and the North American side looking like they were clawing their way back into the game, the sin bin came up. Yes. And in a game like this where you're chasing, Barry,
yes,
you can ill afford ill discipline.
Yes.
You can ill afford to go a woman down.
And it was more petulance than anything, because there was no reason for that tip tackle. And there was no reason to lift the...
You're trying too hard.
Yeah, you're trying too hard.
You're trying to be aggressive.
And that was the point. They came out with a very aggressive game plan, but then you've got to be able to manage that. And I don't think she was able to manage her adrenaline. And as a result, it caused the sin bin.
All right, let's take a look at the individual awards. Sophie De Good was crowned a World Rugby Women's 15th Player of the Year after helping guide Canada to the final. Well done to her. Today's sensation Braxton Sorensen McGee was named Women's 15th Breakthrough Player of the Year after a debut Women's Rugby World Cup in which she was top scorer with 11 tries, two of which came as New Zealand beat France in the bronze final earlier in the day. And then England head coach John Mitchell was awarded Coach of the Year for his part in delivering the title. Let's go to men's rugby. The rugby championship results from the weekend. South Africa with an imperious second half to put 60 past the RGs. It ended 67-30 at Kingsmead in Durban. And then the All Blacks edging Australia, the Wallabies, 33-24 at Eden Park. So it's all set up quite rather nicely in the rugby championship standings, with South Africa edging out New Zealand by just a solitary point at the top of the table. South Africa knowing that any victory will do on the final match day when they take on Argentina in London, whilst the All Blacks, they visit, of course, Australia down under to complete the Bledisloe Cup.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable.
Right, let's wrap up the international news segment with golf, the Ryder Cup. My goodness, does any team sport in the world grip you half as much as the Ryder Cup? My answer is no. Phenomenal stuff. Europe captain Luke Donald over the moon as his team withstood an incredible final day fight back from the United States to win the Ryder Cup with a dramatic 15-13 victory at Bethpage Black.
It's probably the most stressful 12 hours of my life. And I must congratulate Team US and Captain Keegan for the amazing job they did and the fight they showed. It was incredible. But we got it done. And that's the most important thing. I couldn't be more proud of these guys. They gave everything. They gave it all. And to win in New York said probably couldn't be done. But we did it.
So, Team Europe headed into the final day needing just 2 points, and many people thought it would be an absolute procession, but that was quickly quashed by a valiant American fightback. The host won 5 and tied one of the top 7 matches to leave Keegan Bradley's side threatening the biggest final day comeback in a Ryder Cup history. This would have been bigger than the miracle at Medina. They nearly pulled it off, but unfortunately, of course, it was Shane Lowry who made it a day to remember after hauling the putt that saw Europe retain the Ryder Cup. They came within 2 points.
They did.
And a lot of people don't understand, but the very fact that we were talking earlier in the day, we were saying, we just hope that they'll get to double figures.
Yeah, exactly. and that would have been a victory, but for them to turn that scoreboard basically crimson red on a day where it started out as if everything was going Europe's way. But there was a moment where things just swapped.
Yep.
I think halfway through all of the matches, it just swung America's way. And with that momentum shift, they were able to then dig their claws in, dig their heels in, and begin to pull and tug and tug and up until a point that they got back into the game.
How big an influence is the crowd, Barry? The galleries that we saw at Bethpage Black. I mean, they were what is it, 20 rows deep.
Yes.
Around
yes.
certain
huge,
holes.
Huge
I mean,
galleries.
The galleries were absolutely massive. There were scores of thousands of people on that course. And how, because you start to hear the chants of USA,
yeah.
USA.
Yeah, exactly.
How big an influence was that? Because it looked like it was beginning to get to Team Europe.
It's a massive influence. And it's not only in terms of the players that are putting on a particular green, but you then hear USA coming from a different hole.
Going to.
And you automatically, your psychology thinks to yourself, what's going on?
Yes.
And that puts you off your game.
And you're under pressure now.
You have to be absolutely steely in terms of your focus. And you could see that Team Europe, there were players that were had a bit of a soft center. So that's when it started to unravel and get away from them. In truth, for them to be hanging on right at the end is credit to the United States, but also I think there's need in the dressing room for them to put things into perspective and say to themselves, guys, we almost hosed this up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
let's take a look at the tournament, Barry, as a whole.
Yeah.
Where was it won for Europe? Where was it lost for
four
Team
balls.
USA?
Four balls. Mm. The four balls on Saturday, the afternoon session. I think that the USA let Team Europe get away. I think to have a matchup or a partnership where you've got Bryson DeChambeau and Scottie Scheffler in the same partnership, and that partnership fails to win their match.
I was gonna call out those two, because Scottie Scheffler, the sort of golf he has played all year,
mate.
The tournaments he has won and won convincingly, and for him to be woeful on day one and two, that was a big letdown for Team USA, because had Scottie Scheffler won his two matches as he was supposed to do, the States would have won this.
They would have been right in prime position to win it, and I think that it's all on. And I don't know if you're going to open your eyes when I say this, but I believe Keegan Bradley has a huge case to answer, because the captain's main role is to create a team environment.
Yeah,
and
the work with combinations.
To work with combinations, and he failed to build the team. That's why in the singles, where on the final day they were able to pull it out, because now they didn't have to work with anyone.
Right. So
but
so
he failed to
does
create
the
a
element,
team.
Barry, as we wrap this up, obviously. Does the element of too many new players on Team America as compared to Team Europe?
Yeah.
Team Europe had a lot of consistency.
They did.
Guys who have been in the Ryder Cup before and who have played. And you took a look at the American team, there were about at least five guys who had never had a lick of Ryder Cup action.
Sure.
And so when it comes to then creating the combinations.
And the chemistry,
And the chemistry, it's a bit harder when it's new guys with the established pros.
It's tough. It's tough. But I think that's why they announce the Ryder Cup captain so early in the piece.
Mm-hmm.
They announce he's got nearly 18 months to prepare, because you can watch your players.
Again,
you can pick
I come
your
back
team.
And say the fact that he was an active player is that what let him down, because
100%.
He didn't have that time you're talking about to be traveling and traversing the country, having meetings,
watch his
coffees,
players.
Watching his players.
Yeah.
He was busy competing against
them. 100%. I think
like you have a national team coach who is attached to a club.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Yes.
I just had a Eureka moment also.
Uh-huh.
What's that? Now, talking about Europe, soccer, Europe, America. Now, the reason why we don't have this in Euro, in soccer, is because America doesn't have a football team.
A football team, yes.
I know now. Now that's a Eureka moment.
Hi, my name's Ryan Kins, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds, international sports news.
take off in the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, where India beat Pakistan by 5 wickets in a tense final to retain the Asia Cup, as both sides again refused to shake hands, just like they had in the two earlier precious encounters in the tournament. Do you think that it's the game itself, or it's just the optics back home?
Nah, it's the politics. You got to do it, especially those two countries. We all know the history.
Yeah,
that is
the players actually get along, but
it's,
they
it's
can't.
It's more than a sporting rivalry.
Yeah,
it's the politics since, of course, the partition of the Indian subcontinent into Pakistan, India, and then of course Bangladesh, which was formerly East Pakistan at the start, and then obviously became Bangladesh. But that has been carried over.
So they can't be seen to be.
So they can't be seen, but we all know. Yeah. The immense respect, for example, between Virat Kohli Babar Azam and players like that. There's a lot of mutual respect because you compete and you hope to compete fairly. But for the sake of optics, you cannot be seen to like them.
No, you
it's
can't.
It's that simple, yes.
You can't.
It's almost like a Man United player then deciding, oh, I'm going to swap jerseys with a Liverpool player.
With a Liverpool player, yeah.
The fans would murder you.
He's going to get sacked, In fact, your contract will be, you'll be released from your contract. All right, let's go to Japan. We're world number one. Carlos Alcaraz recovered from a slow start to beat Casper Ruud 3-6, 6-3, 6-4 to reach the Japan Open final, where he will meet the second seed Taylor Fritz with the chance to claim his eighth title of the year. In Rwanda, Tadej Pogacar lit up Kigali's climbs with a trademark long-range attack to claim a second consecutive men's road race world title, with an air of inevitability surrounding the event as the Slovenian cemented his legacy among cycling's all-time greats. This is a very, very tough race because of the thinness of the air. Did you see guys fainting?
And the hills as
the
well.
The hills. It's very hilly. It's very, the terrain is terrible. So it's a very, very tough event
but
to participate.
But you know, when we talk about sports tourism, the things that we call sports tourism here are not sports tourism.
Yeah, as
you see, so this promotes sports tourism. It's not supposed to. This year was supposed to tourism.
Yes.
Because it brought in people.
Yeah.
It was not just the athletes. Look, look at the support teams that move around with the cyclists.
With the cyclists,
It's huge.
You've got a team of 15, 20 people.
15, 20 people. And when you've got like 100 cyclists from around the world, that automatically means that you've brought in between 1,500 to 2,000 people.
Participating.
And actively spending.
Yes, yes.
At establishments. These are not guys who are going to go and they're not in backpackers
exactly.
And camps.
They're going to top hotels.
They're going to top hotels and using the support services for a period of a week.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So,
well, good to hear. Last week, Alois was telling us that the Honda Valley Marathon is now international. So that's going to be a feather in your cap. Sports tourism right there. So it's a qualifier for top marathons around the world now, isn't it?
We got 10 guys that have already registered from South Africa.
From South Africa, there
after
you go.
It was certified. Yeah, it was actually fantastic. 100%. I got a call from Kaitano Tembo. He was at the gym and the guys saw the flyer and like they went to the new Kaitano. They talk to Kaitano. And
they're like, who's this like, bunch?
Can we trust him? So they're coming through. So it's fantastic.
It is indeed. We land in the United States. Patrick Mahomes surpassed Aaron Rodgers to become the fastest player in NFL history to reach 250 career passing touchdowns as Kansas City Chiefs ran riot against Baltimore Ravens in a 31-19 victory for the NFL's headlining matchup of Week 4.
Ready for summer? Oh yeah, we are too. I got feeling getting hot in here. How you feel? Even if it's raining, I'm not complaining.
Right, if you didn't know, ZFM Stereo is the official media partner of the 263 Culture Fest, which is back on Saturday, the 18th of October, and it's bringing the fire.
Bringing the fire in a major way. The date is Saturday, the 18th of October, like Mike said earlier, and live on stage, Scorpion Kings, Major League DJs, DJ Kent, Dimutuda, Muesli, A. Reese.
Muesli, like the cereal.
and muesli is good for you, so yeah. Muesli is going to be good for you. Saint Flo will be there as well, and many, many more. One stage, one unforgettable experience. That's what you can look forward to.
But this festival isn't just about the music. It's also about food, art, culture, and a whole vibe. So from sunup to shutdown, it's a celebration of who we are. Tickets available now at Liquor Supplies Avondale and online at 263culturefestival.com. See you at the biggest festival of the year, 263 Culture Fest.
CFM Stereo is untouchable.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0772-168-045. Time for the Fan Zone, where we get to read your messages, and we are going to cruise through them. D Dimbare, congrats, my Dimbare. Winning the derby is holy for us. What a crowd, what a goal.
Yeah, the
sky is always blue over Harare. That is Nathan out in Los Angeles, California, what in the crowd. United States of A. Yeah, thank you so much for getting in touch. As well done to Jazunguza, Dynamo's Dimbare. But keep pushing, guys. You will get there. That message coming through from Nyasha Tota. Good evening, my beloved ZFM sports pundits. I thought my Liverpool, Yanga Shikapa level, Reman United, Yeah Ferguson with certainty to score late goals. But H, Crystal Palace proved me wrong. Tindo, Wepa Chi Town. You see where reputations can precede you. Because I actually saw a Sky sports presentation that in the history of the Premier League.
Yeah.
No side has scored more goals after the 90th minute than Liverpool.
Than Liverpool, okay. Yeah. In history?
In history of the Premier League.
Wow.
So,
so the Fergie time,
it was that period.
That period.
Whereas Liverpool, it was for that.
For the, they tend to get one late on. Tottenham is another side as well.
Let's think about it, guys. Man United dominated the Premier League year.
At that time. Yes.
Maybe it's because we needed late equalizers.
Exactly. It was late equalizers.
No, but I promise you, it was something else.
Yeah.
You know, ask any Manchester United fan about fake time. It was nostalgia.
Not just Man United fans.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
Even
United haters.
They suffered.
I'm telling you, people suffered.
Yeah.
Even in the Champions League.
It
was amazing. It was a time we went to halftime losing 4-0 to Newcastle.
Yeah.
We came back second half.
Yeah.
We beat them 5-4. Two goals in Fiji time.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Blessed Gwindi in Chiwe. She says, "Hi guys, I told you in August kuti Dimbare haiende paspe muti mgandiseka. Do you remember?" Yes. I said, "Yeah, Buddha's right."
I was in agreement. I said,
I think they're looking good now to survive. They've got a lot of momentum. Good evening, sports team. I can confidently say that Dynamos will survive relegation, and the Madrid derby was a reality check for Alonso. He still has a lot to do for him to avoid more humiliating defeats in El Clasico and even in the UEFA Champions League. That is Prosper out in Hatcliffe. Guys, our football is going down. Simbabora being knocked out by a team from Eswatini is not acceptable. We used to thrash those small teams home and away. This is Chunguri out in Rosape. This is something that we talked about earlier. Hello team, without taking anything away from the Harare derby, I think football nowadays has taken a drastic change. Yogutu Day is no longer an obvious result. It's only yesterday year hype that brings people to stadia. Otherwise, Ana Dynamos, Caps, Highlanders, even Man United, Vava Mupata, Anzi Vechidembo, Anzi Chozikano Apana. But you see, those teams worked to build their support base.
It wasn't given to them. And then also, I think, be fair on the teams that are performing right now. I thought that the level of football yesterday was at a decent level. I don't think it was a snooze fest by any stretch of the imagination. So I think those that came to the stadium yesterday got full value.
You know what I think? I think the football is not bad. Mm. What is lacking is the star players.
Yes.
Individual brilliance. Apana my individual brilliance. But the bottom thing is not a boy.
And you know what? It's the artists that put bums on seats.
Yes.
Those are the guys that get people talking and that get people coming to stadiums to watch.
Chicheta was on his way.
Chicheta
was on
number
his way.
Mafios. Yes, you see that. We are lacking that. I saw Bamusi. I saw Bamusi. He got a ball down the line, into the box. He was 1 yard ahead of the defender.
Yeah.
He stopped. He came
and locked. Yes,
and
I remember
he locked that ball back.
Yes.
That showed me that's a total lack
of confidence
in yourself. Yeah. That I'm here, I'm going all the way,
and I'm
going to
show you.
He wanted to cross that ball.
To cross Kuchaka Ume. So he wanted to give the responsibility to someone else.
Why are you scared of scoring? Why don't you want to be the superstar? We don't have superstars.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up with a couple more messages. Anzi, we have a big problem when it comes to scoring goals in our local football. We haven't reached the 20 goal mark a season for a while now, and even our penalties are deteriorating in quality. Simba Bora crashing out on penalties came as no surprise, especially after watching the penalty shootout between Borussia and Scotland last week. Something should be done right from the academies, Chaiko. And then, of course, a last message here, Anzi, hi Z team. I think big games. Big games from other leagues are good than those from the EPL. My derbies, near rivalries, I know that my goals. Look at Juve versus Inter and then Atletico versus Real's goals after goals after goals. Well, it's to Europe that we head next. It's time for the beautiful game.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues, the big teams, the big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport.
Now, manager Xavi Alonso says Real Madrid's 5-2 defeat to Atletico Madrid in the derby hurts, but admitted the result was deserved after a bad game and stressed the importance of his side's reaction to the defeat. Now, football pundit Steve McManaman says this defeat for Real Madrid raises alarm bells.
This was their first major test, wasn't it? We said that. The opposition they faced already in La Liga are not strong enough to trouble them. They conceded a lot of chances against Marseille at home in the Champions League, and today, I mean, they were just dominated, weren't they, in the central defences? It's back to their old problems of last year. They haven't changed much. Beaten the weaker opposition, and they melted today. And it's a huge wake-up call for Xabi Alonso. Maybe they needed a kick up the backside to sort themselves out.
Kick up the backside, sure, Mike, but if you don't have the personnel and the organisation, you're going to keep chipping goals.
What do you mean they don't have the personnel?
I don't understand when you say they don't have the personnel. I don't think they've got defensive balance.
The players,
yes, in name, but I don't think they've got the defensive balance to actually
how
set
how are
up
the youngsters
way
from Barcelona coming in and getting the business?
Because they know.
So for me, this is always the problem with Real Madrid. Real Madrid for me a purchasing club.
Right.
They buy talent.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't have anyone really excited out of their academies.
Yeah.
You take a look at some of the players that have come out of the academy, bang average.
Yeah.
Bang average players. Yeah. And
that's why they shipped out quickly.
Yeah. And so it's not a surprise for me that they were. I did expect them to be hit, to be honest.
Five.
Fives.
Yeah.
but they're going to have to get a lot better. For me, defenses sometimes can only perform as well as the protection that's in front of them.
Sure.
I feel like in central midfield, especially the defensive midfield role, that's where they are failing to get a hold of games and to control games. Mm. They used to have a lot of control when they had Toni Kroos as well as Luka Modric in that area.
100%.
Those guys were seasoned campaigners. They could pass it short and long. They could drive with the ball when necessary. And you take a look at Vinicius. I believe one of the reasons why Vinicius has suffered tremendously in terms of his form has been up and down and patchy is because Toni Kroos is not there. Toni Kroos was that deep-lying playmaker who could pick out Maranza, Vinicius. And he had a beautiful pass on him.
A beautiful pass.
And ways to get
close to him. Yeah,
and he didn't need to be with him.
Yeah.
He could pick him out from... How many goals did we see from Real Madrid where Kroos was hitting a 40, 50-yard pass? And Vinicius Jr. was using his pace and running onto it.
And
when is the last time we see that? Now, Vinicius Arbukiwa Bora Makumbo, and he has to beat his defenders
first.
He's
trying to beat the defenders.
Nowadays, Barry, they know how good you are.
Yeah.
They're double-teaming him.
100%.
And they're forcing him to pass inside or to pass back.
And that's the defensive balance, whereby the team in itself doesn't defend as a team. Yes, they attack great, but Yaga Simbira Humberi, Real Madrid, and they were exposed.
You know, those kind of passes, we're also lacking them even here. Yeah, locally. We don't have. You have got Bamuzi. You don't want to give him into his feet. You've got Junior Bunjira. You don't want to give him to his feet. Tell him to get on his bike. As soon as I get the ball, young man.
Suck them out.
And then you go by. Really, when was the last time we saw that?
Which was done recently by France Football, where he was talking about playing with Messi. And he was saying the difference with now and not playing with Messi is that answer with Messi, I knew I could take off.
Just run.
Yeah.
You'll find me. I didn't have to worry about coming back to receive and so forth. And I knew you would find me.
That confidence is so important, Mike. Yeah. I remember with Lloyd Chitembwe. I knew it was coming. His first control is on the other side.
The opposite side.
On the opposite. Saka manje ndona achi paswa richibva ukujete. Inini I'm on my bike.
Yeah.
Don't know what first touch yake was perfect.
Yeah.
Don't know what the second touch it's over. By the time he then defender banula so try kutena I would be gone.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, that's your weekend's La Liga results. Villarreal 1-0 victors over Athletic Club. Rayo Vallecano beaten at home by Sevilla 1-0, and then Real Madrid 2-1 winners over Real Sociedad, meaning that Barcelona has taken over the top of the table of La Liga from Real Madrid by 1.19 and 18. Let's go to England. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta is confident his team wants it after seeing them battle their way to a 2-1 victory at Newcastle to close the gap on Premier League leaders Liverpool, who dropped points in a 2-1 away defeat at Crystal Palace.
I think we discussed to go to the next level. First of all, you have to learn from the past, and certainly we take some lessons and very sore, different and sore moments in this ground. And today was an opportunity that the game brings you again in a really important week in the Premier League. After all the tough places that we already been very early in the season, to show who we are, who do we want to be, our ambition, and the way that that we want to play. And I think the team is on that today in a remarkable way.
Mikel Arteta, he affected the game in that second half, and Eddie Howe didn't have answers.
Oh, good win this one for Arsenal. Went down at a very difficult place and against a very difficult team.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that Arsenal, if you have to take a look at the game over 90 minutes, they were clearly the better side.
Clearly.
And Newcastle were just hanging in there.
Yeah.
That's what momentum will do. You get one, you invariably get two.
Two, yeah.
And so to win it late on, beautiful. You got a feel for Newcastle. because up against two of the leading teams in the league, Arsenal and Liverpool, they've lost it in the same style, is late on, goals.
Exactly.
And so, but for Arsenal, this will be a big boost, especially last season they were accused of failing to take advantage of the moments where Liverpool suffered a blip, where Liverpool dropped points.
This is what they
need. Is what they need to do, that when Liverpool drops points, they cash in and they're able to put pressure on Liverpool. It was 5 points just a couple of days ago.
Now it's
two now.
Yeah, 100%. And breathing down the throat, the neck of
Breathing down the throat.
Oh, no, no.
To coin a
new phrase that has a completely different connotation. Anyway, let's go, guys. Tonight's action, Everton host West Ham at the whatever Dickinson Stadium,
Everton.
Yeah.
I've been to that particular area of thing. I must say that just by way of choice for a location, it's beautiful because you literally walk in from the Liverpool City Centre, the main area where sort of people go out, the main eateries, and you can literally just across to the docks to the stadium. So it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then also, a lot of people have been commenting, Barry, on our platform about South Africa, the punishment that they've received.
Yes.
From
FIFA.
We're
talking about that tomorrow.
We can continue this. We can confirm it is true.
It is true.
And
yeah.
We'll be talking about that tomorrow. 3 points. And of course, in the context of us as Zimbabwe playing them next.
It means in Durban, Mawani. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Melandi, out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus, so...
All the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundell, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.